Hello and welcome back to the HBO Boys podcast discussing Moon Knight, Episode 6, Gods and Monsters. Directed by Mohamed Diab, teleplay by Jeremy Slater, Peter Cameron, and Sabir Peraza. That's not how I say that last name, but I'm not going back now. I stick to my guns. Joining me today is Adam and Chad. Say hello at the same time. Talk over each other.
Yes, so I'm Adam.
And I'm Chad.
Fuck, I'm
Chad?
Adam.
Fuck you. You guys suck. Can't even take one goddamn.
You asked me to do something.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Chad.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Chad.
How is this the one time in your entire lives you can't talk over each other?
I literally was.
Nah.
Yeah, I was.
Nah.
Hey.
No.
Yeah,
season
finale. Hey, Chad.
Season finale. Moon Knight has been picked up for season 2. It was a series finale that got moved to season finale very recently. Do we think the timing of Moon Knight ending on Wednesday 5/4 and Doctor Strange coming out 5/5 is pure random happenstance, or
no? I think that Doctor Strange was scheduled to come out Mother's Day weekend from the beginning. Because of the premise of the movie.
Oh.
And I think that it's, yeah, I think that it isn't an accident, a happy accident that they ended at the same time. I also think that based on how the show went, they had always intended on continuing Moon Knight because there was too many things left unanswered that they didn't even like attempt to cover in the finale. I mean, unless they have like, you know, 20 minutes of footage they cut out. But I think after episode 5, we all recognized that we weren't going to get a satisfying conclusion in episode 6. And then we arguably didn't because it wasn't actually the conclusion.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think they Falcon and the Winter Soldier in Moon Knight, which is to say, like cut out an appendage, like an entire piece of it. Because they're fraidy cat little bitches. But yeah. What I will say is we are getting more Moon Knight for sure. Do you think Moon Knight is going to be in Doctor Strange?
That was the real question. Am I going to see Moon Knight tomorrow night when I see Doctor Strange?
No.
I want it so badly.
No.
I'd like it.
Nope.
I would like it, please.
No. I don't think so.
Tell me why.
Like, what about the
burden
events?
Of proof is with you, Chad.
Well, okay, fine. The burden of proof is with me. I would argue the burden of proof is with you. What about the conclusion of Moon Knight makes you think that there's anything related to the multiverse of madness?
Only the timing.
It would be the timing and the fact that Doctor Strange is going to be in the multiverse of madness, and this deals with like gods and stuff. So,
No, the timing doesn't work out because you got to remember that the Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness takes place a year. It takes place after Spider-Man, which is the furthest in the future that the shows have gone. Like No Way Home took place like 2 years after Thanos.
Right.
And granted, we don't know exactly when this movie takes place, but. I mean, you could tell me this movie took place before Thanos, and I'd believe you.
Can we find out when, like, what timeline Moon Knight is on?
Well, there's so few references to the rest of the MCU.
It could go anywhere.
Maybe that's intentional.
Maybe.
Yes, and by the way,
flips to this timeline.
We were told that we were going to get an MCU cameo, and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
They boned us.
Maybe we did.
We didn't. We got boned.
Maybe we don't know who the cameo was. Maybe it's probably the girl.
Then that's
the girl,
stupid.
The girl
Golden
that
Scarab or whatever the hell her name is.
No, I'm talking about the girl that she saved from the car.
Oh.
She's the cameo.
She's Miss Marvel. Gods and Monsters begins this way. That was very Perd Happily
yeah,
from Parks
great.
And Rec. Layla receives a message from Towerette. Telling her to find and release Khonshu so he can revive Spectre, who's dead as shit. Haro uses Ahmet's power to slaughter the other Egyptian gods, who went down way too easy, their avatars that is, before releasing Ahmet, who is a CGI'd, 6-foot-tall alligator lady who chooses him to be her new avatar. Way out of left field. Who else was she gonna choose? While Layla finds Khonshu's Yushpati, or whatever the fuck. However, I don't know how to say that. Ushabti figured it out and releases him.
So you're clearly reading something right now.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah.
Yeah. My new thing is that I read the Wikipedia version of it because I think it's funny.
Yeah, but...
Oh my God, are you about... You fucking do it. You do it, Chad. Find some shit on the internet and you do it.
Hey, I have an answer to you for the Marvel cameo, and it's deeper. And Chad, maybe you know this, and because I had no idea this character existed. But
let's hear it.
It says here, Moon Knight head writer Jeremy Slater confirmed that the living statue man is in reference to Bertrand Crawley, with actor Sean Scott being credited for the role. In the comics, Bertrand Crawley is a homeless man in New York who often works as an informant for Moon Knight. Debuted in 1976 in Marvel Spotlight volume 1, number 28, and was credited by Doug... Blah, 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 blah. He met Jake Lockley in New York before eventually gathering intel for Moon Knight.
No, I don't know that character, and that's a bullshit cameo.
I agree, but this is what everyone has been reporting, that is the quote-unquote secret.
But cameo. That guy was in the first episode.
And the second and third, I think, right? For like 2 seconds while he unloaded his life to him.
They know what they did. When they said that there was going to be a Marvel cameo, we didn't think it was going to be whoever the fuck you just said. We thought we were getting a main character.
Same.
And they boned us.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
I agree.
I'm actually kind of glad they did, though. Because
I like this as a standalone, yeah.
Yeah, because then it would be like, oh, yeah, that's the one where Iron Man shows up at the end. You know,
and then it would be nuts.
Then it becomes the Iron Man show. Nuts. Yeah, but then it becomes the Iron Man show, or it becomes the Vision show, or whatever. And it, so much focus will be put on introducing this other MCU character into this plot, and like how they're going to contribute to it, and it takes away from the story that we've been given. I don't really like the last minute Deus Ex cameo that people keep on expecting from these shows, and I'm glad that I've been let down by them, because in hindsight, I don't want that.
Yeah.
It feels cheap.
End of Peacemaker, we got the Justice League.
Who showed up too late and weren't helpful at all, which was the whole point of the cameo.
Right.
No, actually, I didn't mind that cameo. That one was fine, because they didn't
do
anything.
Of course you didn't mind it, because it's the opposite of what you just said. It wasn't a Deus Ex Machina cameo. It was just a Aquaman fucks fish and is standing there.
So one of the better cameos then.
And it was on DC.
Fair.
Right.
That's right. Unrelated.
All right, Chad, keep going. What happened in the episode?
All right. So Mark, who is in the land of the dead, the Reeds, where he like is finally at peace. He is all like bent up because he didn't want to leave Mark behind. So no, I got that backwards. Mark is in the field and he didn't want to leave Steven behind. So he's like, I'm going to go back and get him. And then Towerette's like, no way. That's not a good idea. That's not how this works. And he's like, I don't fucking care. I'm going to do it anyway because I'm a good guy, not a murderer. And he turns around and is immediately standing next to the stone body of Steven. He makes a little speech. He puts his hand in his counterpart's hand, and the heart appears in between them, and like Elsa and Anna from Frozen, their love brings them back to life.
God. This is a Disney property.
Except it's not sisterly love, because it's like, it's more masturbatory. It's like himself. So
Jesus.
Gross.
What a word. This love is more masturbatory.
I mean, that's the proper word.
Steven and Mark came back through the power of friendship.
Yeah.
And that so dumb. Like,
hey, you wanted him back. You said at the end of last episode.
Well, of course I wanted Steven back. But it was inevitable.
Yeah. Towerette, when like the big sand wave was going to hit them, Towerette shows up, and she's, I forget the name of the god, but she's like, oh, you big softy. And my wife, like the god person, she knows, knows all the lore about all like the actual like stories of the gods. She told me that like she was calling him a softy for letting him come back to life, basically.
Mm.
So it wasn't that like their friendship broke it. It was that like they appeased a god who allowed them to come back to life.
I understand.
But it wasn't really portrayed very well.
But I liked the celebratory hippo.
Yeah, that's funny.
Khonshu also tried to blackmail Layla to become the new goddamn moon Khonshu knight.
Oh, yeah.
She was like, no, how so, dare you?
So what do we think about that? Because they seem to really not like him.
Oh, I hate Khonshu.
I know why you hate Khonshu. Because why?
Oh, because he's a two-timing, two-faced slut.
Why?
He is a slut.
Why? What did he do? What did he do to hurt anybody?
What he's doing is promising something, an eternal life where you'll be fighting for justice. And what ends up happening is that he's just exploiting you for his own benefit to reach his own means. And when you're done with that, he doesn't give a shit. Because the world is greater than you and you barely matter. Sweet.
But we don't actually see that. But we don't see that.
What happens at the end of it?
I would argue that what we see is with great power comes great responsibility. He has a responsibility as...
Spider-Man's not in this chat.
No,
I
know.
It would be better.
Well, he has this power. He has this responsibility and he wants to use it for the betterment of society. And he is not allowed to interact with the mortal world. So he needs an avatar and he's, you know, we don't see him stab anybody in the back or lie to them, I guess, until the very end, except for when...
At the very end, that's exactly what happens.
At the very end, yeah.
Mark Spector, at the very end, so it doesn't matter.
Post-credit
Mark Spector
scene.
And Stephen Grant ask him very politely, in fact, make a deal with him that he gives his word to, that they are free after they do this one thing, except for there's a third one of you, by the way, and he's going to keep showing up, and I'm going to keep exploiting you two through him, because fuck what you want.
So yeah, but they don't know that.
Oh,
but
and they, because they don't know it, it's fine.
No, because they don't know it, so why are they acting like he's this horrible monster?
Because he is. Listen, in a world where free will does not exist.
I also don't buy that.
How you know? There are a lot of gods. There's a goddamn kaiju fight at the end of this episode. And you think Mark Spector / Stephen Grant are making their own decisions. In fact, it would be proven otherwise almost immediately at the end when they did make a decision. And then Khonshu was like, okay. No.
That doesn't mean that free will doesn't exist. That means that they were duped.
Yeah. By Khonshu.
A god.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's your point? That's my point.
My point.
You just made my point.
No, my point there is that doesn't prove that free will doesn't exist. That proves that everyone can be a dick.
Oh, no. What proves free will doesn't exist is that there's an entire pantheon of gods in the MCU, celestials in the goddamn sky, and good thing that Hawkeye can hit a good shot with a bow. Very good, Hawkeye. It doesn't fucking matter. On an incredibly small scale, does not matter. Celestials are in the sky. Also, by the way, where are the Eternals during any of this? It's all bullshit.
I feel like this is another conversation we need to have. But
well, I kind of abide on Ryan's side, too, because, I mean, it is, they're gods. I mean, they literally can, you know, snap their fingers and make things happen. As
what needs to happen.
But that doesn't mean that free will doesn't exist. That just means that there are gods.
In this moment, no. Those two things are the same thing. The way that they are presenting it to us right now, what they need to do is say, hey, if the MCU was a D&D game, the Celestials, the Egyptian gods, any character that we present to you as a deity is like a level 20 D&D character, not like an all-seeing, all-knowing, omniscient god. They're not actually gods. They're just very powerful.
They do that, though. Because because at the end of this, Khonshu and Amit are fighting. Clearly, there's a mortal battle there. And Thor is literally a god, but he literally can die. You know, like, we do see gods die. We do see them get wounded. We do see them fail.
When they fight each other.
No, Thor got his eye ripped out by, what's his name? How did he lose his eye? He lost it in the gladiator battle, right? Or no, he lost it from Hela. Man. Hela took his eye out.
That's another guy.
Oh, man. You know, Hela, a big bad in one of the movies, ostensibly a god?
The Celestials are gods the size of planets that can create other worlds and explode planets. Like,
well, yeah, so, but I mean, that's a matter of perspective. You know, to an ant, we are a god that can create more gods and destroy their homes.
Yeah, so do we give ants free will?
No, what? But they don't give anybody anything. In fact, they created artificial constructs that they were able to remove the free will from.
I'm going to save the audience from this conversation and go to an advertisement, and we will be right back to continue, hopefully, for the love of fucking God, discussing the episode we're actually talking about. See you later.
I think this conversation is much more interesting than Moon Knight.
We've had this exact conversation right now, which we're about to. Yes, that does show exactly what you think is interesting and what I think is interesting.
But I am curious, though, like, why?
I'm curious when this stopped being a comedy show. Keep going.
I mean, it's entertaining to listen to, I suppose. But, how do you support that there is free will?
Oh, my God. So we're completely ignoring me, huh?
Yes.
Oh my fuck!
For like 5 minutes.
I'm taking my headphones off. Let me know when we're going to talk about the fucking episode.
Give me 5 seconds.
This fucking sucks. You suck.
Jeez. I thought that you cut to commercial so that we could have a conversation before going back to the pod.
No, that's obviously not what I was doing.
He just wanted to throw a fucking put a knife in and he's done.
My argument that there is free will. Well, we see characters making choices all the time. I don't see where having there being powerful beings that are ostensibly gods removes the free will from any individual. I also don't see how a story that is smaller in scale can't be interesting just because there are larger stories. You know, there are two different points, but you kind of merged them together in your point earlier. Like, yeah, Thanos exists, but we were all loving Moon Knight until, I assume you didn't like the last episode because it got very Marvel-y, but that was a small story that was told in a world where we did have Thanos and Thor and the Celestials, and that was a good story.
So, I agree. I like the side stories, though, too. I like the smaller shows getting more nitty-gritty in the details of things, but, I mean, it's hard. I'm like, in the middle of it. I lean a little bit on Ryan's side still, though.
I mean, I think that the smaller stories are obviously less consequential in the grander scheme of things, but I don't need every story to move the MC universe, you know, forward. It could just be a story that I'm watching because I'm enjoying it. But I don't see the leap between there being gods equals there's not free will. I just don't see where that connection comes from. When do you see any god ever impart their will on somebody else in a way that eliminates their ability to choose? In fact, that was Khonshu's whole thing in the last episode was, we want to give people the right to make the choice to make a bad decision. We can't punish them because you project that the bad decision will happen.
Right. That's a good point. That's a good point.
So,
What's the best thing about Switzerland? I don't know, but the flag is a big plus.
It's a big plus. Anyway, back. Hello, Ryan. Welcome.
Why do we all tell actors to break a leg? Because every play has a cast.
Hey.
Sorry, I just thought I would bring, just some comedy to this comedy podcast. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Control freak.
Oh, hi, Ryan.
It's me. Okay, now you say control freak who.
Control freak who.
That's the joke, see? How I'm... You see it?
Because he told you to say it.
Oh, I gotcha. That's good.
Hey.
hey, Adam. You promised you're never going to forget me. You won't forget me tomorrow?
Forever and ever, babe.
Do you promise you won't forget me next week?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you promise? Like, you'll remember me in a week, right?
Sure, fine.
Will you remember me in a month?
No.
You won't? Well, yeah, you will. Yeah.
Month is where he draws the line of the sand.
Will you remember me in a year?
Unfortunately.
Knock, knock.
Get sucked.
Hello. Hi, Chad.
Oh, fuck you.
That was my favorite thing you've ever done, Adam.
Do you know that joke?
You really stuck it to fucking Chad there, dude.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do you know that joke?
Nope. but I immediately made the connection.
No, I just... I just knew that if I said things that you didn't want me to say, it would go badly for you, which was my goal.
Well, when you say who's there, I say, you said you'd never forget me. Yeah.
That is pretty good.
Yeah, I liked that knock knock joke.
That is a good
one. An 8-year-old told it to me the other day.
This is where we're at.
How many 8-year-olds you hanging out with, Chet?
Well, I have a 10-year-old son, so.
Okay, he's not 8.
So probably his friend. Well,
his cousin is 8.
Oh, his cousin.
Okay, yeah. Well, you got to be more specific from the beginning. I'm hanging out with a bunch of 8-year-olds. No, well, my son's 10. Yeah, that's not the same.
Well, yeah, Chad's a dad.
I am a dad.
Weird.
It is weird.
Anyway, Chad, back to this episode, please.
Can you do me a fucking favor?
Yeah.
And keep telling us what happened in the episode, please?
Sure.
I hear Ryan's just sadness that's happening in his voice.
So,
this is not how I wanted this to go.
Welcome back from the ad.
We've been back.
We've been back. Okay.
That entire conversation we just had, you think I'm cutting that?
Absolutely not. That's comedy gold right there.
You're going to leave in all that stuff about the Nazis that you brought up?
You're out of your goddamn mind. See Kyle.
Anyway, yeah, so continuing on with the Moon Knight recap, while all of this is happening in the land of the dead, we are in the land of the living. Mark's wife, whose name escapes me because I don't learn names of people.
Oh, man, it's on my screen. When I was reading it, it's right there. It's Layla.
Layla. She kills one of the bad guys and takes his gun and nobody notices, and then is following, all the bad guys as they go back to the pyramid, in order to revive, Amit. And as she's going to try to kill him, Tower, speaking through the corpses of recently deceased police.
Super weird.
Tells her, not to do that. And that Mark is like, oh, don't do it. He's too powerful now. And then, she hints that she wants Layla to be her avatar. A foreshadowing that is blatant and, pays off not 10 minutes later. They inevitably get to the pyramid. Amit is revived, and it's this giant alligator lady with long black dreads, and she's walking around. She's like, oh, I had a follower who had their scales balanced, and now I want a follower who's not balanced to be my avatar, because I think that'll be better, which like totally flies in the face of her whole belief system.
Yeah, no, that was a conversation at the writer's room table. They were like, hey, guys, this doesn't make sense. Oh, we could just have her say this one thing about how she's changed her mind. Bing, bang, boom, baby, we're done. Let's go get some lunch.
Wrapped.
Knowing how the story ends, she's like, you're going to do bad. Like your scales are balanced now, but they tip in the future because of the things that you're going to do. But like, we see everything that happens to him.
You know what my favorite part of this episode is?
Yeah.
When they walk into the Great Pyramid, Haro and during getting Amit back,
mm-hmm.
and the other avatars of the other gods come in and they're like, what do you think they're doing? what do you think they might be doing? Oh, they're trying to resurrect Amit?
No.
Man. No. That wasn't just told to us fucking so recently. Who could have foreseen this?
Yeah, maybe we should have listened to that guy.
You dumb shitbirds.
Like, they didn't even look into it. Anyway.
No. He just said that. Oh, no, I'm not doing it. And the guy was like, yep, that sounds good to me. Court adjourned.
Well, he's not the crazy one. So, Layla is like, oh, shit, I got to wake up Khonshu. And then she does. And Khonshu's like, I don't feel Mark or Steven on this plane. And then honestly, I forget what happens next.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Then he goes and tries to fight. Khonshu goes and tries to fight Amit and like is swiftly defeated.
Failing. Yes.
And just at that moment, Mark, Steven make it through the gate to come back to life. And they're like climbing out of the water. And Khonshu's like, hey, buddy, I'm back. And he becomes Moon Knight again and he suits up. And then he's like, how am I going to get there? And he's like, oh, did you forget that I am the god of the night? And he makes it night, which allows Moon Knight to fly, I guess. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sure, that was weird.
Fucking fine, dude. Sounds good.
Flies over to the Great Pyramid and battle ensues. And this is where, like, I was down with everything going on until here, where, like, it turned into very...
The kaiju fight?
Yeah. I mean... Kaiju fight. It was a good kaiju fight, sort of, but it was kind of, like, felt out of place.
Yeah, it was a little weird. Like, in the background, they would show it, like, above, towering over the city.
As Arthur is now fighting the new energized version of Moon Knight and Layla Falcon... and all of a sudden, he's amazing at karate. They're all amazing at karate all of a sudden.
Right.
And then the two gods are fighting in the background. All I was thinking was, hey, Khonshu, could you be this big
all the time.
Whole time?
Right.
You just decided to do this now? Okay.
Yeah. There was a lot of things at the end that just kind of were like, oh, okay, I guess that's it. Like Arthur's powers. He suddenly, like, he got rocketed from the Great Pyramid into the city and, like, thrown into the stone ground, and he just gets up. Like,
yes.
What about what we've learned about him tells us that he has any sort of healing factor or
yeah, he's Wolverine. This entire fight scene was hot garbage. It ruined the episode for me, and slammed the entirety of the... By the way, as I always say when I think something sucks, the majority of people who watch this, Rotten Tomatoes, all of the Marvel subreddits on Reddit, they all love this shit. They really, really enjoyed it. The worst part of this episode for me, by far, is that... So, Mark and Steve are losing, right? Mm-hmm. And then it gets Deus Machina'd by a third personality that has been being teased this entire time. We know Jake Lockley exists. We understand that. It's been being teased. And then he wins the fight for them, and we don't get to see how the fight ends?
Yep.
Yeah.
That was very frustrating.
Are you out of your fucking mind?
It's weird. It's like they inserted a cliffhanger into the climax, but then continued with the closing.
Yeah, right. Does this episode feel a bit thrown together because, you know, it's the last final episode of the show and they were too early to get to this point, you know?
I feel like when I saw that the runtime was the shortest of the rest of the episodes, I was immediately concerned.
Yes.
Here's the thing. I feel like this episode, this whole scene in any other movie would have been good. I think we were eating our soup and then someone like put a bit of ice cream in it. And we're like, why the fuck is there ice cream in my soup? And like, I like ice cream.
You don't eat soup, Chad. You sip soup. Okay.
Whatever. It's like, I like ice cream, but I don't want it in my soup. That's kind of how I felt about this finale.
Your ice cream soup analogy is next fucking level. And I like that.
He's not
much.
Wrong. You know?
I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying I'm disgusted.
I suppose your feeling for this episode mimics that.
This episode sucked.
It was
so disappointing. I'm so disappointed because they did what I wanted them to do the entire time. They took really large swings, especially in episode 5, which I think was the best episode of the series. And then did exactly what I knew they were going to do, which was slip over their own dicks in episode 6, not show the coolest part of what happened by far, having a kaiju fight that you could tell they didn't want to cut to on a constant basis because it was very expensive to have in the background.
Right.
Then at the same time, set up your antagonist for season 2, and it's Khonshu. They are implying that Khonshu and Jake Lockley are the antagonists for season 2, plus the old partner guy, of course. Right. It's going to be one of those like your old partner guys come back and you have to fight him. But the real bad guy is you. Like,
no, you know what? I think they could do that. Like he could like hunt down his old partner and his partner's like, that wasn't me. I didn't want to hurt them. You did it. And that's why I left. And then that's when he's like, well, what the fuck? There's another me. Kind of thing. I could see them making that make sense, and then it becomes a man versus self story again. But I mean, it's going to end with giant monsters fighting on a pyramid, so whatever.
Man versus self versus self
versus self
versus
okay,
self versus
and then conscience. They port back, and now they're in the asylum again. Why?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, the asylum stuff was a little confusing. I took it as like that's how he's struggling in his mind to understand things, because he is actually crazy. So I think that that was actually a projection in his head. And he was able to break free of it when he realized that his doctor was also a projection. And then that's when he wakes up in, you know, his old bed.
Who is bleeding from his glass-ridden feet.
Yeah. And he, interestingly, when he woke up, he was tied to the bed again, which he shouldn't have had to do that if he thought that there was only two person. If they thought they were the only two personalities.
No, he knew there was at least one more. He knows he blacked out during the last fight.
Yeah, he even said, like, that wasn't me, that wasn't you.
Right. And stole the coolest part of this episode from the audience. Very cool. And then it is over. And then there's a mid-credit scene where Haro is just straight up abducted from the psychiatric hospital that he's chilling in and executed in the back of a limo that Khonshu is in, dressed up like he's a... like he's a fucking gangster, and Jake Lockley with a silenced pistol shoots Haro a bunch of times. Again, Jake Lockley being Spectre and Grant's third alter ego, and who is still bound by Khonshu because Khonshu is a dickbag.
we skipped over
Spanish, right?
Over one big thing.
What do you mean we? You're recapping the episode.
I skipped over one big thing. They end up defeating Amit by not making Arthur the Avatar, but like imprisoning her inside of his body so that when he dies, she dies with him. And that was another thing that was a little contrived, that was unclear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Khonshu was like, kill him. And Mark Spector was like, if you want to kill him, you die yourself. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The guy who shot you twice. Your line in the sand is not killing him because you've changed. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, that seemed a little, like I'm the hero, so I do
contrived
the hero
is
thing.
A good word for it. That's a perfect word.
It's contrived.
I think it just, it just set up, I think they just did it solely to set up the third personality cutscene. That's it.
Yeah. So the gods can't interact with mortal dealings, right? That's like the whole thing.
That's
right?
Why they need the
that's avatars, why they need the right? Avatars.
Yeah.
Yeah, but and those avatars sure can die pretty easy. We didn't even get to see them put up any kind of fight.
Yeah, I want to see all their suits.
Yeah.
So many missed opportunities.
Too. Anybody think that Layla's suit was a little Wonder Woman-y?
Oh, no, yes. It sucked. It was awful. Yeah.
Bad.
Tower Rat is like, I have an idea for your perfect suit. It's going to be so cool. And then it was a cheap Halloween costume.
It's like, I just watched Wonder Woman and I made this suit and you can have it.
They went to Party Bazaar.
Yeah, that was a little disappointing.
I did like her golden wings, though. But that was, you know. But
because Hippo is
wait for this. I can't wait for this conversation. Oh, you have wings too? Well, you can't have wings. I have wings. I'm Falcon, and I somehow matter.
Yeah, she doesn't fly, does she?
Yeah, she flew in this episode.
Moon Knight can fly at night, apparently.
No.
Anyone can fly. I know what you mean. What I'm saying is that, they can just decide anyone flies.
They just decide they can fly. Did she fly in this episode, though, Chad?
No.
Like, she truly did, fly? Like,
yeah, she can't fly, but she can jump around.
She didn't fly from the pyramid? Maybe I thought she flew. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe she fucking did. You know why Moon Knight can fly at night? Because someone was ripping off Batman and was like, yeah, but what if he could fly? So fuck you.
Ryan's angry.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I guess so. I want one of these goddamn shows to be good. I liked WandaVision very much. It was the first one. It gave me hope that these MCU shows, as I entered my mid-30s and nostalgia wasn't pulling the heartstrings it once did, once No Way Home's credit roll, I said to myself, I was like, there is going to be no to the left moment for me ever again. I'm past my prime. You know who I'm mad at? Time. I'm mad at time, Chad. That's my problem. This is a me problem, not so much the MCU. No, I take that back immediately. MCU is going down the goddamn drain. I'm so excited, by the way, to see Doctor Strange tomorrow. And if it disappoints me, I'll burn down the theater.
Wow.
I was going to say, you know, if you're disappointed by time, you're just going to have to wait till tomorrow because time's going to be all sorts of messed up.
So, I was disappointed by the finale.
Yes.
But I still think this is up there with my favorite MCU shows. I still liked the show. Like, I don't think that a bad ending ruins a good show.
I agree.
I'm excited that there's more story to tell, so long as they tell it the way that they have been. Yeah, I think it's a shame that, you know, we ended with a sky laser and a big fight in what could have been, like, a really cool, like, philosophical, you know, like the best fight in WandaVision was when Vision was fighting White Vision and they were just like floating in a circle and talking. And, and I think that maybe it is because we're old, but I think that was really interesting. You know, anybody can shoot lasers and throw punches, but like to make an interesting fight, that where no one actually throws a punch, like I think in a fight between ideologies might have been a better conclusion here because they were kind of doing it a little bit.
Oh, fucking yep. asleep. Yeah, okay, not by what you were just saying, by the idea of fights between ideologies. I'm like, oh, that sounds like the most boring thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
What but are you talking? No, I think.
Yeah.
I think it would be because they were kind of doing it anyway. You know, when they were fighting, they were like throwing punches, and they're like, I want to make the bad people die. And he's like, I want to make the bad people die too. And he's like, but I want to do it differently than you. You know, and then that was as deep as they went.
Deep, so philosophical.
Now that Moon Knight is over, what are your top three Phase 4 MCU shows?
Shows.
Go from 3 to 1.
3 to 1.
Yep, here's mine. I think, I just spent the last hour of my life only thinking about how I thought the finale of Moon Knight was garbage. And I still put it at number 3.
Okay. Admirable.
I put Loki at 2, and I put WandaVision at 1.
Wait, what was 3? I'm sorry.
Moon Knight.
Moon Knight was 3?
And I put Moon Knight at 3, not because I enjoyed myself for most of the time, because I didn't. I put it at 3 because the other options are so trashed here that Moon Knight is like the best of the losers. And by the way, I really liked Loki and I really liked WandaVision.
I think it's for me. I'd see right now I'm thinking Loki, Moon Knight, WandaVision, but I think that WandaVision, the final fight jumped the shark more than the final fight in Moon Knight did.
So it did jump the shark. You're correct.
So I'm those two are kind of in a toss up for me. But again, I don't think that unsatisfying ending necessarily makes the show bad.
I don't either. Listen, that's what a lot of people say about Game of Thrones. Just because the 8th season of it, and perhaps also the 7th season, if you're most people, because it sucked rocks, and because the writing went downhill, and because they forgot about most of the side stories, because they were just racing towards a trilogy they had with Star Wars, but it was eventually taken away from them because they fucked up so hard on the last two seasons of Game of Thrones, because they were so bad, which, by the way, I don't think they were as bad as other people do, but I didn't think they were great. I didn't like you watch seasons 1 through 4 of Game of Thrones and you're like, this is the greatest show ever made, period, end of story. Like Sopranos can suck dicks. This is amazing. And then you watch seasons 7 through 8 and you're like, what did they do to my boy? So I still think seasons 1 through 4 of Game of Thrones is the best television ever made. It doesn't get ruined most of the time by 7 and 8. Although every now and again, when I'm watching an episode for like a comfort episode from season 4 of Game of Thrones, I do think to myself, they made Bran King? Like that does that fucking blows.
He missed it. He jumped over a whole season, didn't he? Like he wasn't in season 6 or something.
No. Yeah.
At all.
Whole season. And then he got telepathic powers from like one of the strongest gosh dang wizards in the world who sacrifices himself for Bran. And then Bran's like, I can take over crows. I can be birds. And they're like, that's your only power? And he's like, yep. And they're like, you suck. Well, you have green sight, right? You can tell us about the future. Yeah, but I'm going to do a bad job at it. Why?
I have no comment. So, number three is going to be a toss-up between Moon Knight and Hawkeye. I know you're going to hate to hear that, but I liked the show. It was really fun.
I liked Hawkeye. Hawkeye was four for me.
Two is WandaVision. One is Loki, I think. I think that's where I stand. I've been thinking about it this whole time. You've been talking about a show I haven't watched.
So. You put Loki on top.
Yeah, I think Loki. It's so, like I said before in another episode, it's so tough. I think Loki and WandaVision are really, really close. And see, I think Moon Knight and Hawkeye are very, very close. It's hard to rank them.
Loki is kind of funny because I feel like it's the inverse to my statement before when I said that a bad ending doesn't ruin a good show. I think that Loki, the show, was good, but the ending was so good. Like that, talking to Kang at the end and like the whole twist, like that was so good that I think that actually elevated the rest of the show.
Of course it did.
Yeah.
So it only works in one direction, apparently.
Yes. It only works in the direction that strengthens my argument.
Yeah, I guess so.
I really like Tom Hiddleston. I really like,
Wow.
Oh, I miss Loki. Those were the good old days.
Yeah, I liked that show. And I did like Hawkeye. It was fun. It was a fun show. It didn't take itself too seriously. And that's why I liked it a lot more than I think people were thinking it was going to be. Definitely liked it better than Falcon.
Yeah. I mean, talk about a low bar, though.
Yeah, fair.
That show was so bad.
Yes. Well, that's because they destroyed it. And so, yeah, thank you for joining us on Moon Knight Season 1. Upcoming MCU shows that we'll probably do... Maybe. I don't know. I mean, James might be here even at some point. Miss Marvel, She-Hulk, the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special, and Secret Invasion, all of which are currently in post-production. Ironheart and Armor Wars in pre-production, and in development is an untitled Wakanda series that they'll do at some point, which I believe got pushed back because the main character injured herself on set. So once her bones are better, they're going to get back into that. And also, you know, we are the HBO boys, so... We will at some point, I guess, I don't know, discuss HBO shows. We're doing Outer Range currently, where that's about to end next week as well. So go listen to our Outer Range stuff. The season finale of Nothing Star Academy is being recorded. All of the buds on this current podcast will be there and saying words, and they're really going to stretch out their acting chops. It's going to be very fun. Go listen to Nothing Star Academy on Spotify or Apple, or wherever you get your podcast. It would be really neat if you listen to it. All of us put in a lot of work, and I'm very, very proud of it. So go listen to that.
It's great. Lots of work. Ryan put in a ton of writing, and it's awesome, and everyone should listen to it. Also, I think I'm going to watch freaking, what's that Adam Scott show? Severance.
Severance. Please watch Severance.
And we'll do that. That's a real HBO show. Also, in 2023, I assume, anyway, I know James and I were talking about it, we're going to do The Last of Us. And then probably Kenobi, no? Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Oh, man. The trailer dropped for that today, I really enjoyed it.
May the 4th be with y'all, dude. We recorded this
on the 4th. And also with you. Lift us up to the droid.
Hey, guys.
Wow. What's up, dude?
Right at the climax of the movie, of the show, my son looked at me and just projectile threw up.
Well, he knew it was so bad.
Feel how good it was.
It was so bad that he was like, "I need this to end in any way possible."
Like I looked at my son and I hear Conchu say, "You never learn," and then.
That's great.
Thank you to our patrons, patreon.com/HBOBOYZ for $1 or more a month. You get a bunch of extra bonus content. You get to join our Discord where you get to tell Adam what song you'd like him to sing during an episode. That's a new feature.
This episode.
Yeah, that's a new feature. And thank you to our patrons, which I say at the end of every episode, if you are one. We haven't gotten a new patron in a year. For the love of God, please give us money. Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, James Watch My Dawn, Chris Wood, Brinkin, Daniel Westworld, Craig, Major Woody, and Carol Andreas. Thank you very much for the dollar bills. And thank you very much for joining us for Moon Knight Season 1. And thank you, Chad and Adam, for being around. James was on one episode, too, so that's pretty cool.
He was on one. That's right.
Little James cameo. Oh, actually, God. I just asked him in the Discord, "Hey, James, did you watch Moon Knight and have feelings we can say on the pod about it?" And he said, "I haven't watched it, and I don't want to."
He didn't like episode 5?
I think he hated the entire thing.
Yeah, that's his general consensus, it seems.
James doesn't like anything.
I mean, at this point, to be fair, I can't judge them. I was in the middle of episode 6, and I was like, oh, fuck.
James's favorite MCU show is Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
He just says it just cuz.
We're going to get copyright strike for me to hum this song anymore.
Dude, I play so many songs I download straight from YouTube. They don't
haven't gotten a cease and desist yet.
Yeah, not yet. I don't think they care about a show that 8 people listen to.